Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I feel pretty inspired, man.
Yeah.
I feel really inspired by that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I actually am. You know, I've wanted to try my hand at gymnastics for a while, but now I'm actually like, you know, it's that thing that's pushing me on to do it. I want to, you know, experience that feeling that he experienced.
Experiencing winning a gold medal or a bronze medal.
Yeah, I want to experience that. So I'm just going to go and put the 10,000 hours in that it's going to take me to get there. And, you know, Niall, I'll see you there.
Do you know what? And you probably know by the title now, we have Niall Wilson on Private Parts today, who is a Olympic gymnastic
obviously
medalist.
I'm joking. There's no chance of me getting to the Olympics.
Listen, I don't think you fooled the audience. I don't think they actually generally believed.
I just thought I'd clarify that because people might have thought I was delusional.
Okay, you were going mad. But we just had Niall Wilson on. He is such a great guy.
He's a legend.
He won a bronze in Rio 2016, among other things. He's inspirational. He's 22 years old from Leeds. He has a big YouTube channel.
He won 3 golds at the Commonwealth.
Yeah, he's just killing it every single way. And we had him on today, and he made us chuckle, he made us emotional, he made us really think about our own lives and really think what you can achieve in life, which I think is a really kind of good message.
And you said you wanted to buy his sperm.
I did say I wanted to buy his sperm. So if you get to the end of the podcast, I said I'd pipette it into my butt, which was quite weird. But yeah, have a listen to it. Also,
not very weird for you, to be honest.
Before we start the episode, we've got to mention that our tickets are still on sale for our tour. 22 dates around the country.
But they are selling out. We've sold out Clapham Grand on the 8th. So you can still, if you are in London, we've added a new date because we know that there's a lot of demand for it. So if you want to get your tickets, they're selling now. Go on privatepartspodcast.com.
Privatepartspodcast.com. Go and click on it right now. Go and get your ticket. We can't wait to see that. Hey,
coming to a good theatre near you.
It's not a movie. You can't. It's like coming to
all good theatres.
It's not coming to all good theatres.
Yeah, because all the ones we aren't at aren't good.
Okay, there we go. So go and check it out. Go and Instagram us, tweet us once you've got your ticket. We want to know you're coming because we want to say hey to you in the crowd. But for now, this is episode 79 of Private Parts Podcast with Niall Wilson.
Niall Wilson. Here we go. Come on.
Enjoy.
Here we go.
Here we go, man.
You guys sitting comfortably?
Yeah, well, I'm sitting
so
great.
Comfortable right now.
Do you know why he's comfortable though? Because he feels comfortable in my presence.
Really?
Why is that?
Well, you feel comfortable in my presence because not only do you respect me as a person, you respect me as a gymnast and a sportsman and I would go as far as say mentor. I would say
you are like one of very few that's landed a backflip on a Niall Wilson vlog.
Really?
You heard it here first.
how many people are there?
I can count it on one hand.
Really?
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sort of details of our lives. Hey, joined with us today, I'm excited, my brother Niall Wilson.
It's a pleasure.
Now I'm going to read this out before we even begin, because I got to read this out because this is freaking insane. Okay, so dude, 22 years old from Leeds, okay? Now, you are a gymnast and these are the medals you've won, okay? British junior champion in 2004. Became 2014.
God, how old do you think he is?
Became the first British gymnast to win 5 golds at the 2014 European Junior Gymnastics Championships. Won team silver at the 2015 World Artistic Gymnastics Championships. The first men's team medal in British gymnastics history. Became the first gymnast to win bronze at the horizontal bar event in Rio 2016. Won 3 golds all-round horizontal bar and men's team gold and 2 silvers, rings and parallel bars at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. Runs a YouTube channel which almost has 1 million subs. Runs a YouTube channel with his dad called Niall and Niall Vlogs. Has Olympic rings tattooed on his back. What else is there to say, baby? That is freaking insane,
that
man. And you're
cool,
only 22.
22 years young.
Quite an intro. Wait, so what else is there to say? Go on, tell us.
Just a top lad, aren't I, really, yeah. From Leeds.
Yeah. Just a top lad from Leeds. Lad, yeah, yeah.
Yorkshire.
You know, I was going to go down to a pit and I managed to escape it.
But listen,
this is freaking insane. And I think we got to start from the beginning because this is, it's just crazy, like, how much you've done.
Yeah.
I mean, it is crazy. And I think, do you think, this is what I want to understand first, do you think a lot of it is nurture, or do you think it's nature? Do you think that you made yourself good, or do you think you were born with the talent?
I think a bit of both. I think there's definitely a natural kind of, I explain it as obsessive and addictive DNA. You know, and it's in multiple aspects of my life now. Obviously, gymnastics being the first one, the first obsession. And I just remember from a young lad not thinking about anything else other than gymnastics.
It's funny, I talk about this in my diary, actually, but we'll talk about obsessions. But
we basically read out our diaries, get ready for it. It's super entertaining.
Can't wait.
Nick, don't get too excited. It's freaking great.
Yeah, so like that DNA just... I just wanted to get better every single day, and all I thought about was gymnastics, and I wanted to go to the gym. And when I got home from the gym, I wanted to watch videos. And
what is that? Where is that obsession from? That has to be from somewhere.
I don't know. Like, I found it very early to be my passion. You know, the reason I got in, the story I got in was because I was very clumsy, and I'd split my head up on 3 or 4 times before the age of 5. So my parents, they took me along to teach me some spatial awareness. And I was always, same story, hyperactive.
Wait, hang on. Your parents took you to a place where they would give you social awareness.
Spatial awareness.
So basically, like, to take you to a place where you would stop falling
learn
over.
Learn how to fall over, yeah. Pretty much. To land on my feet.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, that, and then I just picked it up, loved it. And then it's like anything, I just worked and worked and worked.
How old were you when you started?
Four years old.
And then when did you first land a front flip?
Oh, God knows. 5 years old?
5 years old.
I don't know.
But do you know how freaking...
We're going back a long way.
But no, this is what's so insane, man, is that like, no, when you're that young as a kid, there isn't like within your brain, you don't have that like obsessive gene, I don't really think. And so, you know, you kind of like love like watching like... teddy bears, or you love watching like Pokemon.
Maybe you don't have the obsessive gene, but you have the ability to love something. Mm. So I early on found gymnastics, not teddy bears, Jamie, or TV or Cartoon Network. It was gymnastics. Do you know what I mean?
Have you ever watched Billy Elliot?
Yes.
So what, did you go to your dad? Dad, I want, you know, instead of I want to dance, was it actually like I want to be a gymnast? And he was just like, no, son, you're going to go and work down pit and, you know, do that. Was it a bit like that or no?
Nah, I mean, we'll talk, probably talk about it in the podcast, but like my parents have been the best parents I could have ever wished for, and gone all in with whatever I wanted to do and supported all my crazy dreams. So that's played a huge part and role. I think parenting's massive, and I still to this day, but then it's not like there's no pressure. They're just good at being my mum and dad. They asked me if I enjoyed it. Like whatever competition it is, whether it's the Olympics or I'm in Leeds Gymnastics Club doing a Christmas display. Do you know what I mean? My first thing my dad will say is, did you have fun then, son? Did you enjoy that? And I'm like, yeah, dad, yeah.
Like a nativity scene.
Really? Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what it is. As long as the answer is, yeah, I enjoyed it, then that's all that my parents cared about. Does that make sense?
Well, that's all that matters, really, is that you're enjoying yourself.
I don't think my parents have ever said to me, did you enjoy that? They've literally not once have they done that. They've gone like...
After a spanking.
Yeah, that's the only time that I've ever gone, did you enjoy that? But so, do you think that like, and going back to that like nature and nurture thing, so you're 4 years old, you're going to go and do gymnastics, you kind of pick this and you've got this obsession, your parents have gone, okay, fine, let's go and do this and let's like follow this thing. How important is it to have that parental support in order to like achieve these kind of like situations? Because obviously, from what I understand, and you can tell us, there's a lot of sacrifice. There must be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's critical, isn't it? You know, like at the end of the day, from 4 to 17, they're the one that take you to and from the gym every single night. They're the ones to, you know, they're bringing you up as a person. I think I spoke to my dad with a lot about it recently. He says his focus, because now in sport, see it a lot, you know, the parents live through kids' ambitions, and they want the kid to be the next Olympian. And the and my dad's always said to me, like, I just endeavoured and tried to create a nice person, because all the same qualities of a nice person is the same qualities as an Olympic athlete. So if I create a nice person first and a good lad, then, you know, whatever's the kind of the result of my gymnastics will be. But yeah, it's critical, isn't it? And you have, like you said, you have to sacrifice so much.
But how much sacrifice are we talking about? Like, is there like, could you hear, you know, you hear all like these stories, and we know this, right? Like, where I'm saying we know about this, we know nothing. But yeah, my parents drove me to boarding school. That was, what a sacrifice they had to make. No, but it's more the fact where you hear these stories of like how, you know, mothers have driven like 2 hours every single day to drop their kids off and sit there. Is that kind of thing that happened with you?
My mum, the trip to the gym was 30 minutes. And I trained 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Often my mum would just sit there.
Is that AM or PM?
PM. So I would go to school all day. So school at 8:30 till 3 o'clock. Quickly run home, have a bowl of cereal, whatever it be. Jump in car, mum would take me to gym for 5. Stay all night for 4 hours and take me home at 9 o'clock. Well, and then, but then the family as well, like whether it be my mum would do the majority of that work. But then, you know, we wanted to eat as a family, so my little sister often went. So my sister had to sacrifice all her evenings being up at the gym club or being at home. Then she had to wait till I got home at 9:30, sometimes 9:45, to put some food on the table so we could eat as a family, which is late.
That's so great. That's the thing, because it's to you know, what do they say? It's like 10,000 hours to achieve mastery in something. So, you know, especially if you want to be the best at something like gymnastics or another pursuit or you know, endeavor like that, you know, there just aren't enough hours in the day. So the sacrifice is, especially if you're young, like you were saying, you know, your parents have to actually take time out of their lives and put that in, you know, give out that time.
Yeah.
And also, like, you have to put that time
they
aside.
They were persistent. They were all in with what my dream was, what my sister Joanna's dream was, and are, and the same today. And then, yeah, like you said, it's hard to tell a 10-year-old boy that he's got to train 24 hours of pain. Of sacrifice, you know, like 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We're talking Monday to Friday.
Yeah,
that's every day.
And you can't do it.
So it's not,
if you
don't
enjoy
it. Do you want to come to my party, my birthday party? This, that. Like, nope. We've got to go to the gym. Got to go to the gym.
That's the thing.
Oh my lord!
What you have to sacrifice is your social.
Can't have your birthday party. You mad? Crazy. But this is that's what's so insane. But this is what separates the greats from the people who like are mediocre, right, is those sacrifices. You had to basically forget your social life from that age, didn't you, in a sense?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though, I wouldn't change a thing. When you're in it, always, like, you'd agree with me, the grass is always greener, isn't it?
You know, you have something of a social life with amongst your fellow gym. Yeah, you know,
best friends are in gymnastics today, you know. And then the sacrifice only changes as you get older. It probably only gets harder as you get older. When, you know, it's 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
You know, you're telling, you know, and I think now my life's a little bit of a different point, because I've still got the biggest ambition, you know, and I've achieved all that on paper, and it's great to hear out loud, but I still want to level up and I still want to improve.
Yeah, but that's because you're a winner, right? That's because you always want more. You want the Olympic goal.
I've relaxed a little bit on the sacrifices, and I'm still trying to find it hard to balance from time to time. I get it wrong. I make mistakes. And as much as I say I'm addictive and obsessive with gymnastics business, we'll talk about vlogging.
Yeah, we've got all that.
But like, I'll openly, honestly say on the podcast, it's the same when it comes to eating and when it comes to going out and drinking and you know, all those stuff. You've got to be channeled in the right areas when you're such on a narrow road, like being an athlete, and have to sacrifice all your life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
it's kind of all or nothing.
Yeah.
And it's the same when I go out and party, and it's the same. Know what I mean? That's not what I'm trying to say. You know,
yeah.
It's got to be channeled in the right areas. Yeah. So I do, I love a party.
Yeah.
I love a good meal, and it's very easy to overindulge on certain things. We do it because it's our passion, because we love it. And I want to be the one to change that. Like, I think the way it's going, it's almost going exploding
in
the sport. And it's kind of, we're still being left down here. We're not able, through certain circumstances, to not rise with it.
But why is that?
It's challenging commercially because mainstream don't understand it. You know, like this problem with us, but I'll openly talk about it. I love it, gymnastics to pieces, but unless you are in gymnastics, you don't understand the scoring. You don't understand why Niall Wilson won a bronze on high bar.
You don't understand what
15.2 means. We do. But like, it needs to tap more into mainstream, because it's not crossed that line of
what do you think?
The Olympic sport. You know, you watch it, it's one of the most viewed events at the Olympics, probably the most, because it's amazing to watch. But then it's over. That was cool. Didn't really.
But the nuances.
I'll watch it the next Olympics.
Scoring system aren't obvious to someone who's not.
No, yeah,
which
not.
They which they what do you think they could do to change that?
It's too difficult now because the way the sport's developed, but it used to be out of 10. Remember it back in the day?
It was always
closest
easy.
To 10. Yeah, so you got 9.4, 9.5, 9.6. You knew those were, but because of the level of difficulty and the way the sport's progressed, the way the technology, we've got bouncy floors, we've got springs in the vault, we've got better equipment. Guys, it just wouldn't be possible to mark it out of 10.
Because there's not enough space.
Level, so they've allowed us for real obvious, you know, growth in sport. It's just limited. You know, if you say that a 10, because it used to be 10 start value, but you had to do a certain level of difficulty to get a 10 start value, and then they mark it out of 10. Now they mark it out of 10 as an execution score, and then the moves that you do create a start score. Which is added to the mark out of 10. Does that make sense? That's why we get 14.5. But yeah, exactly. It's complicated. And that's the biggest mainstream challenge with our sport, and then why we can't.
Yeah,
They don't get it because it's complicated in a sense.
Because I was speaking to Claudia Fragapani. And she was saying how most Olympic gymnasts are actually, like, they're supporting themselves even at an Olympic level. Like, there's not enough funding in the space, whereas I guess rowing now has got so much money going into it, you know, as a sport.
Does rowing have a lot into
rowing
it?
Does now, yeah,
really.
Well, listen,
with World Class Start and various initiatives that are sponsored by lottery, like, they've got a lot of lottery funding. Like, I don't think, like,
the funding we get is huge.
Oh, really?
From the medals that we've won, it was 16.7 million.
Yeah.
No, was the cycle from the 5 medals that we won artistically in,
okay,
the next Olympics. However, that sounds like a lot of money, but the way it's spent and positioned is out of our hands, and we don't see that directly.
She getting at then in terms of what? Maybe I misunderstood what she was saying. Yeah.
I just think it's tough for a gymnast personally to, you know, for example, you know, cricketers' wages are £1 million a year, you know, football, you know, like, we are capped at our UK sport funding, which is what other Olympic sports are part of that scheme, and the only way we can create something of ourselves is building a personal brand like I have I've worked, you know, my ass off, like, to create what I've created, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it should have to be like that, really. You know, the level of ability we are in our sport.
Because you're working so hard at the sport.
We're in the best in the world, and it's kind of, it's stepped up, gymnastics has stepped up from amateur now. It's a professional
thing.
It's a profession. One of my biggest dreams to kind of change it. And then you look at the likes of the sports, Fiji boxing, or what they've done with darts. Do you know, like,
you're
boxing, you have your Mayweathers, your Anthony Joshuas, and then you have Olympians, you know, and it's kind of like separated. I believe somehow we can do that in gymnastics. We've just got to get the concept of
the rules and the scoring
correct. And I think it just needs to be points led.
Yeah.
So it's clear cut. It's mainstream. Audience can see why someone's won, whatever the concept is. You know, people can gamble on it. you know, brands will want to get behind it. We can sell out arenas easily. We
you
can
could
get
sell
contract-
out arenas. You can sell and, the O2. Easy. You could sell out the O. This is actually
and the points. The points actually can be indicative of the quality, right? So I mean, but I mean, who would you be? Who would it be? Who would be the judges in your ideal tournament? You know.
Well, that's again to be negotiating because there's
no.
There's
a- you don't have to say it.
Is this all top secret?
Yeah. You don't listen. Hey, you've seen me do a backflip. I know the scoring well. You don't have to say me. It's okay. But
to be honest, we can make the concept simple enough where it's very clear cut from a human eye. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like in football, if you hit the football into the net, you get one goal.
Well,
do you
know
what I mean?
It could be crowd voted.
Well, yeah. too. But the challenge is it's still subjective. Our sport is one of the biggest challenges that we are judged on what we do by a panel of subjective human beings. So it's so hard for us, you know, and remember those judges they want in the gym that 10,000 20,000 hours that I have been in, so they don't care what you've been through.
They just
sit there with a pen on the paper telling you what you're doing wrong.
That's
the reality of our sport.
But dude, you could easily book out the O2 and do tournaments in the O2 for like, I mean, and you could sell that place out easy peasy.
It's the dream. It's
but you could easily do that. It's like 15,000.
But yeah, you create a branded tournament with a set of rules like the UFC or Bellator, you know, like that kind of thing, but for gymnastics.
It's going that way. There's Matchroom Sport of creating an event called Superstars of Gymnastics, taking it to the O2 in March. So that's an interesting concept. I'm not going to be personally a part of it.
Your choice?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. All right, here we go.
Interested. Look, they've conflicted with British Gymnastics quite heavily.
Okay. Oh, really?
And it is an event which would be in the calendar in the run-up to the Olympics is on the same day.
Right.
So, you know, it's put us in a horrible position because we're having to... We haven't go against our own governing body, and then you know it could have been. I'm sure it could have been positioned so it didn't conflict.
Well,
like
surely
that,
it'd be in their interest because they'd get the top athletes.
I know.
But
it is what it is.
But also you know go and check out Niall's Instagram. Niall MW. Because you put a picture up the other day of you winning your bronze medal, and with you had tears in your eyes, and that. Describe that moment where you've won it and you've got that medal on and you're like, oh my, is it just unreal?
Yeah.
What you've been working towards, right?
It's so, so special. I was telling the story to my friends at my coach's wedding the other week, and I was teared up again and started crying when I was telling it. I won't today.
Let's actually set the... Come on.
Yeah. You want me to...
I want you to say, I'm going to honestly collect your tears and drink them because then I'll be sick at gymnastics.
No, it was... It was the whole experience was insane because you got to remember gymnastics. I was at the England match in Leicester City last night. We played Switzerland, and I said, you know, it's so different because you're on a field with 11 players. You make a mistake, it's easily recoverable. And I said the only thing in football that can have somewhat resemblance to our sport is a penalty shootout.
Yeah, sure.
So one man on the pitch. Every eye is on that person.
High intensity,
they've got to perform. They've got to kick the ball in the net. So every time we are doing a gymnastics routine, and particularly imagine in an Olympic final, they do the apparatus one at a time. So there's high bar was the last one, and there's only eight guys that make a final. The top eight scores from the first qualifying day. So I walked match around this arena full of 20,000 people with eight guys. And we all had to get on the bar one at a time and perform our routine. So not only, obviously, is it in the arena for 20,000 people, there were 7.5 million people watching on the television at home. But obviously...
Do you ever say to them, like, before they start to jump, I would, to like, psych them out, I'd be like, so who's, like, your biggest competitor is at the moment? What's his name?
Well, the winner was Fabian Hambuschen. So he's a German. Fabian Hambusch.
So Fabian Hambusch, I would say to next time he starts to do it, say, hey Fabian, just before he gets to say, hey Fabian, when you jump, do you breathe in or out? And he'll go, he won't know what to do. He'll go, oh, I don't know. Make him hyperventilate. So it's true, right? I remember I was playing golf once, but as I was about to tee off, he went, Jamie, and I went, yeah, and he went, when you hit the ball, do you breathe in or out? And I went, oh, I don't know. completely psyched me out.
Yeah,
God. I'll use that one.
But you haven't. But you haven't said so. That so. You, as you were saying, it's you got 7.5 million people watching you. You've worked, you know, 15, 16, 70 years of your life, whatever it is, and you get to that moment. And is it relief? Is it excitement? Is it sadness? That's over? What is it? What is that emotion?
Like in that moment, it's, well, I say it's as normal as any other competition. The truth is it's not. Like there's nothing really can prepare you for an Olympic final. Because you remember as well, I try to block out all of those thoughts. Like it's not on my mind. All I'm thinking about is my gymnastics routine. But deep down, you know that's reality. Mm. And then deep down, it's not like the European Championships where you get another shot next year. You know what I mean? This is every 4 years and it's the biggest event. Yeah. So that is, I don't think I'm subconsciously thinking about all that, but I'm aware. Yeah. So the way I was feeling was another level, like another level of nerves, another level of excitement, another level of everything, every emotion.
It was a new
completely. Yeah. And I spoke with like Lewis Smith, my teammate, because I'm one to really pick successful people's brains. I want to know everything about them and how they've got to where they are, because I can take anything. So I remember speaking to Lou so much about
God, you are like you're in it. You are just upset, which
is
great.
Like, I wanted to know like what's it like. And he's the one like a year out, however long ago along it was to the Olympics. He's like, Niall, I promise you, nothing will ever prepare you for an Olympic final. And at the time, I was like, all right, mate. Well, I don't know if I can. I don't know what that means.
Buddy.
I don't know what that means. And then bear in mind as well, I don't know World Championships, which is the same gymnast.
Sure,
no other gymnast. It just, so I thought, well, I've dealt with that. It must be similar.
Mm.
So anyway, it wasn't until I stepped upon the podium at the Olympic final and was putting chalk on my hands, and then I remembered that conversation.
Really,
and I just thought, you know what, he was exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Imagine, I'm literally in your body at the moment. So like, do you step on that thing and you look up at the bars, you look at the crowd and you go, do you literally go, oh my God, this is freaking
it. Do you use any kind of techniques to keep your nerve, like cognitive behavioural therapy?
So like, I try and control my breathing.
Yeah.
So just deep breaths to try and, you know, keep my heart rate at a good pace. Mm. And then, that's exactly right, but I'm thinking that in a positive way.
Do you know what I mean? For
like,
sure.
It's very
you're
easy in that,
it, right?
in that moment environment to be like, what if, oh my God, I can't do this.
Yeah, look at all these people watching.
What if I fall off?
That's what I would do.
You've got to be in that specific zone where you're at your, like, you're in the right space, 100%. Right mental space.
So it's like, right, I'm gonna smash this. Do you know what I mean? Like, so calm, looking at the bar, like, I've done this. Hundreds of times. All I've got to do is the same as what I do back in Leeds every day. And then, I swear to God, it's a blur. So I present to the judge, walk up to the high bar, jump up, grab it. I don't remember a single thing apart from my feet hitting the ground.
Really?
It's literally like,
I stuck it dead.
And then it was like I went to sleep and then woke up when my feet hit. Do you know what I mean? Because you're so in the zone.
You're so focused.
Like, it just muscle memory kicked in. I honestly could not tell you.
Oh, my God.
I cannot recall a single second on that bar in that final. I just remember sticking it. And then I came awake and I was like, oh, my God, I've done it. And then, like, the emotion comes out. But, like, the picture, like, going back to the Instagram picture, that was the moment where I was totally not expecting those emotions. And what it was... So they announced my name, bronze medal at the Olympic Games, and like the crazy, crazy moment. It was when I turned, because I knew my family was sat in the crowd. It was when I turned to Mum, Dad, and Joanna and saw them, and they all were red-faced. I could see the tears.
And that's when you go.
And then I just lost it, completely lost it. I was trying so hard to hold it in because I knew it was on TV.
I guess because also
it's
so special.
Making me get worked up right now. Let's all cry together. I mean, that'd be great.
Because I guess gymnastics as well, because like you said, there's a subjective element to the judging and stuff. So there is a moment where there's suspense, right? Where you've done it and you know that there's nothing you can go back in time and do it any differently. It's now in the judge's hands.
Yep.
Not like if you're doing a 100-meter race or something where there's a sort of, okay, there's a binary outcome, like you've won or you've lost. Yep. Like you don't know what's going to happen.
I'll tell you what. So I was third up on bar and there's eight. So my score came up, and Hambushan, who won, he went first. So I slotted in just below Hambushan, so I was in second place. My score was good. But then I had to sit and watch five other guys go. Oh, so like I was horrible. Actually more nervous out of control, you know, when I was out of my control.
I couldn't have any control of it.
Yeah, I scored 15.433 after like two goals after me, American went up and scored 15.4. Like literally 0.033 away from you know, and like it's that.
So
I'm sat on my seat like with a huge pit of anxiety in my stomach. Like,
did you watch them, or can you? Were you not like okay?
I have to watch. Not got.
So you can. I enjoy it,
but that was probably the most unenjoyable experience of gymnastics I've ever had. Because, and I swear to God, so then it was the seventh guy, and his score popped up, and I was still in second. So then I knew I got the medal. It turned out that the eighth guy. Just pit me, scored 15.5.
Oh, that motherfucker. No. Oh, God, I'm going to shoot him in the leg. It's so annoying.
But then that feeling, you know, when it was... I knew I had the medal.
Yeah.
I had, like, goosebumps head to foot. Like,
is it proper bronze as well?
They're all half a kilo.
Yeah.
And I think they're all silver and then dipped in gold, dipped in bronze.
Melt that down. And before we go on to question of the week, can I just get a promise from you one thing? When the movie comes out about you, can I play you? Because honestly, I feel like young Niall Wilson from Leeds, I could do it. I think I should.
Well, you studied interpretive dance at Leeds.
Yeah, I did at Leeds University, so I'm there. Yeah. I'm already in. Now, like what we like to do in the podcast is Francis reads us a question, we try and answer it, and in part two, he gives us the answer. It's a bit of format we like to do. So, Francis, please, let's have question of the week.
We have to have whatever format we can get our hands on, really, because...
Dude, can I just say, do you know what's... You've probably been asked these questions a million times, and I get that. It's probably slightly boring for you in a certain kind of way. But the way you can see you're so passionate about it is the way you talk about it. You bring everyone freaking into it. It's fucking believable.
We like to swear on this podcast,
swear as much as you want, but it's so, dude, I can't tell you, it's insane, because because you're so passionate about it, you really feel it within the moment. You're literally understanding that pressure and that thing, and it's your life working towards that. And not only that, your parents, the stress, your parents, you know, that you don't let anyone down, the country, your family, everything. Fuck. Shit, that's why I can only swear, because it's insane. I'm freaking out. Right, question of the week.
The question of the week. I've got a few really good ones, but I'm going to go with this one. What is the only planet that is not named after a god?
Gosh.
What is the only planet not named after a god?
I had to skip science class.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you doing? Are you Googling it?
I'm not Googling. I wasn't going to Google it. Okay, let me have a think. The only planet I recognize...
Let's talk. Can we help each other here?
Yeah, let's help each other out this time.
Because they help me out with the planets.
Okay, so we've got Earth.
Oh, that could be one, you know.
I think that could be it.
Earth.
Because we've got Saturn, Jupiter, Neptune, Pluto, Uranus, Venus.
They all sound like gods.
They're all gods. I think it's Earth. Should we go with Earth? Fuck, I've never got one right. Is that... Like, he's actually not saying anything as well. Oh, well, that's the first
time. But, like, is it out of the... Repeat the question.
What
you're about to say, is it out of the solar system? You're about to say something like that, weren't you?
What's the only planet not named after a god?
What about, like, the sun? Is that a planet?
The sun is a star.
No, the sun is a star. It's okay. So it's Mars. Right. Mars was one. Venus, Jupiter, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Venus. Yeah, I think it's Earth. Okay, right. We're going to go... We're going to lock in our answer, Earth.
Okay. Right. I will tell you in part two.
Oh. All right. No, you're going to stick around for part two, buddy, where we'll have Francis Diary answer question week. And hey, dude, we're going to hear about your YouTube motherfucking channel. Woo! Yeah. See you in part two.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.